Hello, and welcome to the Wired for Success podcast. I'm your host, Janelle McKinnon. Are you stuck? Lacking motivation and a will to get up and win? If you have stumbled onto this life-changing podcast, you will learn how to succeed in every area of your life. Welcome to another fabulous Friday. One of the things that is an absolute must in our ingredient to be successful in our wiring that we must develop and we must stay resolute in, it's in our prayer life. And so today I want to talk to us about having an effective prayer life, or in a shorter term, successful prayer. Throughout the time when we were created here on earth, prayer has always been a part of the equation, especially after Adam and Eve would have sinned and they were thrown out of the garden. You see, when they were in that garden, it was easy to communicate with God. It was easy to commune with God because the Lord actually came down, the Bible says, in the cool of the day, and he would speak with Adam. He would be in the midst of them, and in that garden, the Lord was there. But we know that sin indeed separates us. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it so happened that they are the ones who introduced death into the world. And we know that they died spiritually. And then because their bodies became vulnerable because of the sin, they would die physically eventually. They couldn't live forever anymore. And so prayer is an absolute must. If you're going to succeed, if you want to be successful in everything you put your hands to do, you must have a prayer life. You must have a prayer life. Oftentimes people struggle with how to pray. People say, well, I don't know how to pray. It's very simple. You pray the word of God. Something that we've all been guilty of is not praying the word of God. Yes. We know that to pray is to commune with God. It's to have fellowship with God. All these things make up our prayer life. But even though there are times we may be broken and we go to God and we just speak what's on our heart and on our minds, and the Lord understands that, there's a place for that. But I also want to remind us that it is key that we as believers pray God's word. Because that is what he answers to. God answers to his word. When we pray his word, we are truly in keeping with how he desires us to come before him. God, we know, is sovereign. He can do anything. He can interrupt anything. All these things. And because he gives us choice, the power of choice, that's why we can choose, do we want to pray or do we don't want to pray? Now, the less you pray is the less God will be able to move in your life, in your family, in your community, and in your nation. And in your life speaks of every aspect of your life. What you're putting your hands to do, if you have a business, if you are seeking out to do more in your career, in your whatever, your vocation, whatever it is you find yourself doing. If you don't have those things wrapped up in prayer, they won't be able to stand. All right, because let's face it, as a child of God, many times we feel like we come up against a lot, and it's true, because the enemy, we know, is the prince of this air, this earth realm here. He has certain jurisdiction over here. And so when we want the kingdom to advance and we want the Lord's governing to be established here and to use us and to move through us and to flood this earth, we have to invoke that. We have to pray and ask the Lord to move in a supernatural way down here on earth. Praying opens up the portal for the supernatural. People who don't pray cannot operate in the supernatural. And it's funny because as believers, we should know this, right? The witches know that. That's how they fast, they pray, they do all these things. But it's to whom they're doing it to. They're doing it to the dark force. They're doing it unto Satan. So he is gaining more power. He is able to freely move and do whatever. Because they're invoking and they're invoking the dark power. But we're supposed to invoke. Come on. The power of the Lord. That's what we are supposed to be working on and opening up ourselves to the Holy Spirit. For him to move, for him to have free access to us, to our sphere. Moving in our communities, moving in our nation. This is what we need. Now your prayer life cements. You know what cement is, right? When persons are building a home, they use cement to fortify the walls. It's that, it brings that fortification, right? It brings that stability. The walls aren't shaky. The foundation isn't shaky because it is well cemented. And it's the same thing as it relates to our relationship with God. If we're going to have a strong relationship with the Father, if it's going to be successful, then we need to have a prayer life where you meet with God, where God can speak to you. He can speak through you. That's what we need. Because it's not a one-way thing. I know we're guilty. I know I've been too. And so, you know, you may be busy. You have a busy life. And sometimes you're not always able to get up that extra hour and say, hey, I dedicate this to the Lord. I'm going to have my devotion. So you bounce up, you whisper prayer, then you're out the house all day. You're at your job, you're working. You don't steal back a little time from your lunch break to say, I'm going to just quietly be in this corner. I'm going to read the word and I'm going to sit in some silence. You know, many of us drive, we have vehicles, so you get in your car and you spend some alone time with God. There's always a way that you can spend time with the Lord. Stop making excuses. You're not that busy. You're not that busy. How do I know? Because I see you in your phone. I see you looking at all those reels on Facebook and Instagram, and you're on TikTok and you're watching series upon series and you're saying you don't have time for God. I don't know, but I understand why the Lord would feel grieved about how we treat him at times. Take, for example, when you're in a relationship with someone, you want that person to give you attention, even if not all the time. When you want your time, you want your time. So think about it. Why wouldn't the Father want our attention? Why wouldn't he want to hear our voices? Why wouldn't he want to have a conversation with us? When you love somebody, you want to be in close proximity to that individual. When you love someone, you want to hear their voice. It brightens up your day. If you've ever been in love with someone, you look forward to hearing them every day. Even if it's not for long, you may not be able to have a lengthy conversation, but just that checking in, you know, just that, hey, How are you doing? Have a great day. You want that. That is communion. That is fellowship. That is love. It matters. So don't say how God knows your heart and that you just slap that bandit on everything. That is ridiculous, and that is a sloppy excuse for your inability to have an effective prayer life. If you're going to have an effective prayer life, then you've got to give yourself to it. You've got to discipline yourself and make the time to do it. Prayer will always activate the supernatural move of the Lord. And if you don't know how to pray, you need to start. And a beautiful way to start, you can use the Psalms. Like I'm going to teach you on here today. Let's go to Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 23, and it says, God is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. I'm reading from the Message Bible, okay? You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. You know what that means, right? Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. You can pray this psalm. You can come to the Lord. Let me show you. And you can do this with your family. You can teach your family. I encourage you, if you have a family, have devotion time with them. Teach your children how to pray. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You can start off in this verse, God, I thank you for being a good shepherd to me. I thank you, Lord, that you are supplying all my needs today, God, and that you are bringing me into a wealthy place, God, where I will have no struggle, where I wouldn't lack, where I wouldn't want for anything. Thank you, Lord. You are a good father. It continues, true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. God, I thank you for leading me and directing me, God, even now where I have this decision to make. I pray, Lord, that you will make it clear what you will have your servant to do. God, I don't want to make the wrong decision, but according to your word in Psalm 23, God, you are saying here in your word that you will lead me in the right direction. So I surrender to you. I submit to you my life. And I ask God that you come in the fullness of who you are and that you lead me, Father, in the right path today. Picking it up from verse 4, it goes on, even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You can come in, Father, I thank you for your divine covering. I thank you, God, that even though maybe you're in a hospital room, even though I'm sick on this bed of affliction, God, even though death is facing me, or death is facing a family member, a loved one, a friend, Father, I thank you that you have not abandoned me, but God, you are still here in the midst of this dark hour, and you are my protection, and you are my healer, and God,
perfect love casts out all fear. So God, strip fear away from me, God. Even though I'm up against death, even though I'm up against this dark time, even though I'm in the midst of this storm, the enemy is seeking to destroy me, God. Your word reminds me that you are with me. You are with me, God, and that you are guiding and protecting me each step of the way. And even though I face dark situations, they will not overpower me. Verse 5, you serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. Father, I thank you that even on dark days, even God, when the enemy is seeking to do his worst in my life, you are preparing a table for me. The table, God, of abundance. It's a table of plenty. It's not a scarce table. It's not a poverty-stricken table. It is an abundant table. And you've laid it out before me in the presence of those who mean to do me harm. You've spread it out, oh God, before those who have plotted and schemed my downfall, God. You're putting me in their faces that I can feast, that I can look good, that I can be good, that I can eat well, God. In the presence of those who meant me harm, God, you are elevating me. In the presence of those who meant to bring me to naught, you are promoting me, God. And I thank you for this promotion. I thank you for this blessing. I thank you, oh God, that my head is no longer hanging lower, but you are the lifter of my head. My head is now lifted up because you are blessing me to the overflow, God. It's not just that you are tipping me off, but you are overflowing me with blessings. I am overwhelmed this day because of what you have chosen to do in my life and in the life of my family. And finally, verse 6, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Father, I thank you for your love this day. I thank you, oh God, that you are dressing me with beauty and that, Lord, your love chased after me. You brought me back to the place where I first believed. Thank you, oh God, even though maybe I was in a backslidden state, maybe I was hurt, God, by how things were going on in my life, but I thank you for saving me. I thank you for bringing me back to the realization that you love me with an everlasting love and that you desire to see me in your house and that you are giving me rest. I come into the fullness of your love today. I bring my family and my loved ones into your rest today, God. And I pray, Lord, that I will never leave your house again. I won't leave your covering. I won't leave your shelter. I won't leave your divine protection. Every day of my life, I will stay in you, Father. Have your full and complete way as I surrender my all and walk in obedience with you. Amen. You see that? We took the Psalm 23 apart and we prayed it. You see how simple that was? And that's a beautiful way to teach yourself to pray God's word. All right? God says his word will not return unto him void. And so we did something beautiful today. We claim Psalm 23 for our lives, for our loved ones, for our community, and for our nation. Pray. Pray without ceasing is what the Bible encourages us to do. If you don't feel like it, pray. When you feel like it, pray. When good things happen, pray. When bad things happen, pray. You lost a loved one, pray. You gained a loved one, pray. Your business is booming, pray. Your business is failing, pray. You have a husband or a wife, pray. You're in a divorce, about to lose your husband or a wife, pray. Your child is on drugs, they're involved in criminal activity, pray. Your child is flourishing in their career, they're branching out, they're elevating, pray. In everything, when nothing is even happening or you feel like nothing is happening, because we have those days as human beings. I have those days. When you feel this way, you need to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Have a blessed weekend, and I look forward to hearing from you on Monday. God bless.